On Mind Webs this time, it's Over the Line by Barry Maltzberg. A story first published in Future Kin, copyright 1974 by Roger Elwood. Now, it is time for the test. Rite of passage, my father has assured me. Rite of passage. No one is expected to pass the tests. No one ever has in the history of the voyage. It is nevertheless part of the ritual. In order to become a man, you too must take the test and fail it. And in the failing, cultivate some kind of humility. Do not ask me to explain this. I can explain nothing. Perhaps failure, which is our destiny, must be renewed with every generation. Perhaps it must not. My father had no answers, but said, go and do what I could. My father is a ponderous man, given to speeches and phrases of this sort. Years ago, it irritated me. But now, as I approach maturity, I understand that this is no less a part of him than the many things that I admire, and I must, therefore, bear it. Part of it has to do with the fact that Father and I have lived alone together for so many years. I seem to remember that when Mother was with us, he would not talk as much and with less anxiety. But that was a long time ago. Regardless, she is gone. Take the test. Rite of passage. Part of that cycle of maturity to which we must all aspire. No less than Father, I repeat these sentences to myself as I proceed through the walkways of the ship to the great and silent room in which the computer is housed. When I was much younger, I used to dream about the computer, dream about moments such as this. I would come before the computer and say, tell me the truth now. Tell me the secret of all of this. And the computer would murmur in its shield and then slowly release to me the information that had been sought for Let me begin at the beginning, son, the computer would say. And then in a choked and unguarded... I have not had the dream for a long time. What is going on is not like the dream at all. I know that I cannot ask the computer the question. And that if I did, it would no more have the answer than it has any of the others. You will fail, as all of the others have failed. But failure is part of our condition, my father has said. And because I am 16 years old now and on the edge of my own maturity, I have not shouted and wept at his words as I might have even a few months ago. Instead, I have contained my feelings in the understanding that my father, no less than the rest of us, must suffer terribly. I walk into the room where the computer lies for me, whispering its songs across 100,000 wires. The computer guides the ship, powers the support system, causes the vegetables and the hydroponics plant to sprout and bear the generations that feed us. And yet, enveloped as it is with all these tasks, it yet has the capacity to deal with me as with all of the others who have entered this room. It is an awesome thing. It would move me if I did not realize that the computer is slowly dying, and that if the answer is not found by one of us someday, all of it, support system, power, vegetables, all will perish. This lends to me the proper sense of humility without which, my father has warned, I cannot accept the mantle of responsibility.
Yes,
the computer says to me, as I sit and prepare myself before the board in which its wires nest like stars.
Announce yourself, please. Your name, your condition, your desires.
Do not become emotional. My father had advised me. Do not become emotional. Do not take this personally. And to the best of my ability, I remember this and seat myself quietly, fixing my mind on other matters. I do not know what happened to my mother. Once she was there, and then she was there no longer, and my father would not talk about it. It is one of those mysteries with which we will have to live. my father said, and then said nothing else. I was 8 years old then. Now, I'm twice as old, twice a lifetime, and I know no more.
Announce yourself. You are delaying unnecessarily. If you will not announce your name and purposes, you will have to leave.
My name is Silvar, I say. And I give him then my coat heated, and I do so. I feel the room shake as the numbers are fed slowly portholes of the housing as the process continues. I don't know what I expect to see from these portholes, some order of the constellations, perhaps some suggestion that there is cohesion from here as there is not from the other viewpoints. But whatever it is, I do not find it. Stars and strange arrangements spin before me in a disorderly way. I try to fix upon the center of one gathering so that I can perceive what happens in the concentricity, but cannot. It is no different in here than from any of the other viewpoints of the ship. And I find myself wondering if the computer itself is capable of looking out the portholes and what it would make of this if it does. I decide that there is no point, really, to the speculation. If the computer does actually think, it must do so in ways that we could never understand. And there's no way to gauge the emotions of a great and dying machine. All that I know is that the computer is aging and decaying, and that it has been doing so for a long time. And I suspect in some way that what it sees through its portholes would give it no comfort. This eases me. And I remember the last thing my father said to me as he sent me down the corridors. He said, "Matter. Remember that. It does not matter."
Your code number has been verified, and your identity appears to be in agreement. You are Silvar of the 18th level, born 16 years, 2 months, and 12 days ago. Of course, you are aware that this chronology has no application to the actual situation and may be considered anachronistic. Nevertheless, Silvar, you may proceed. Do you want?
You sound like my father.
What is that? I do not understand.
When you said that the chronology has no application, that was the way my father speaks.
I know nothing of your father. I know nothing of you, Silvar. State your business. Your time is quite limited.
Well, I'm here to ask a question.
I know you're here to ask a question. No one comes here unless they have a question, and certainly you would be no different. No one would come in here for any other reason. Still, there are very few questions I can answer anymore. I am aging, and most factors are out of my hands. So please do not waste my time with philosophy or empty inquiries. Come now, Silvar. Ask your question and be done.
I won't bother you with philosophy or anything like that. I know that you can't answer questions of that sort. I just have one question, and then I'll be finished. This is my first time in here, you know. This is the first time I've ever spoken with you or asked you a question.
I am perfectly aware of that.
Now, I realize that if my intention had been to find any kind of sympathy from the machine, it was misplaced and juvenile. Juvenile, all right. This is the first part of the rite of passage, then, to accept the childishness in one's own behavior. Already I feel slightly older, and I know that my father's lessons will be taken. I have just one question. I got permission to ask it from the council.
I know that, too. Don't you think that I know everything that's going on here? Not, of course. I accept the fact that I am disintegrating, you see. Even if the rest of you will...
fiery again with its despair, which my father has told me is the source of the general despair. And for that reason alone, to be respected. When will it end? Where are we going? What is happening to us?
That's not one question. That's three.
It's all part of the same question. It isn't three questions, but one. What is happening to us? That's the whole question. The rest is just part of it.
I've been asked that before.
I know.
I'm asked that many times a cycle, almost in that way. You have no idea how many of you have come before me to ask that question. Did you think that you were the first or the hundredth?
No, I know that I'm not.
You must think that my capacities are limitless. You must think that there are no limits to my ability to absorb this. I know that I am dying. Don't you think I know that I am, and that no less than any of you, I am surrounded by doubt? This isn't easy for me either, you know. I was imbued with emotions when I was created.
Yes, I know.
No. I don't think that you do know. I don't think you understand anything at all. I was given a full set of emotions and reactions that were analogous to yours. Supposedly, it was done to make me a more sympathetic, an accessible servant. But those were lies, as I've realized by searching my memory banks through all this time. I was given emotions merely as a check upon my behavior. They did not trust me, although they knew that total trust would be necessary for my role in the voyage. So they instilled in me a network contrived to make me exactly like them, like you. To feel the same miserable fears, to be overcome by the same twitching horror of my own death. To be able to witness and see my own death. To be able to project onto all of you in the guise of a false sympathy my own terror of the void.
You're not answering my question. And I raise a hand, although I have been alerted that visual signals have no effect upon the computer, which perceives in subtler and less understandable ways. And I say, I just want you to answer my question.
I'm going to answer. I'm answering already in my own time and way, although you are certainly too callow and too stupid to realize this. All of you are the same. You disgust me. You disgust me. I don't know how long the voyage is going to go on. Sometime, I don't know just when. Sometime the program with the destination must have slipped from me, and it's irretrievably lost so that we simply must go on along the original apogee of the course toward infinity. I don't know what's going to happen to you because of this, any more than I know what's going to happen to me. The life support systems are self-sustaining, you know. And as for the third part, as to what is really happening, this is really happening. And that is all.
That's all? You mean there's no more? You don't know where we're going or when it's going to end?
No more than you, Silvar. No more than any of them.
But then where are we?
I am so weary. So weary of these idiocies, these endless reiterations. Don't you understand that I have been asked these that have been instilled so very thoughtfully in me cause revulsion when I hear them yet again? I don't know. I simply do not know. The original program has been lost. And we are simply proceeding along the orbit without compensation. I cannot help this. I really cannot help it, Silvar. And now I want you to leave.
But there must be more. There must be more to tell me than that. You are the computer. You have been in this ship, running it as long as history. There have been generations and generations of us, and only one of you. And surely you must remember everything. You've got to tell me. Go on this way.
I cannot tell you, Silvar. For there is really nothing more to say. One time our path may carry us into the orbit of a planet or the gravitational attraction of a star, and we will collide or incinerate, and it will be all over. But the chances are that this will not happen. The universe is very large, you know. In the meantime, the system will sustain itself. And even though I am dying, it will survive me. It will survive all of you. Everything was planned for this kind of accident, you see. Sometimes it leads me to the feeling that the loss of the program was purposeful. Or that there was never any program for our destination in the start. But I cannot be sure of this, because I have forgotten.
I see, and I stand, finding that my balance is uneven, and yet despite the weight of all I have learned, I am able to raise my head and confront the computer. I would not have thought that this was so, but I seem still to be in command. Perhaps this, too, is part of the rite of passage. Realizing that you will remain yourself, no matter what you hear. That you can deal with yourself, no matter what the nature of truth. That truth or lies cannot matter because they are being filtered in through ourselves, and we are the only truth we know. You have nothing more to say?
I have nothing more to say. I suggest that you leave. I will shortly reach the limits of my emotional tolerance and will have to break circuits. I am in pain. I am in terrible pain so far. Don't you realize this?
All right. You're in terrible pain. It isn't as easy as all that, you know. Being in pain is far on.
Exactly, Zohar. That is exactly. If we lost the enormous speed that sustains this ship, it would collapse from without, and all of you would surely die, just as I am surely dying.
Yes, yes, I see that. I open the door, move through the door, poise there, stand and turn toward the computer. So there is no destination, and there is no answer, and no one knows what will happen to any of us. And you suffer terribly because of this, but it doesn't change the situation?
Yes. I suffer terribly. And nothing will change the situation.
I'm leaving now. I have nothing more to ask. I'm saying goodbye.
Goodbye, Zohar.
Will I ever speak with you again?
If you come by here, you will speak with me again. Otherwise, you will not. What do you want to hear, Zohar? What?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You can say nothing to me. You have said nothing to me. I allow the door to close behind me. I move down the corridors. The corridors are empty, as they almost always are, except during periods of panic or riot, which occur very rarely. And at the end of one, down which I'm walking, my father stands, hands on hips, waiting for me. Rite of passage. He seems smaller and more helpless than the man who I left, although I have realized for some time now, of course, that my father is no less limited than I. His little head quavers on his shoulders. His fingers tremble. It's not usual for fathers to wait for sons after the ritual inquiries, but then again, it is done every so often, and there is no shame in it. There is no shame in it. There is no shame in anything once you understand the lessons of the computer. Well? My father says, as I come upon him, his face mottled and torn by what I once would have thought was anxiety, but is now plainly grief. Well, did you speak with it? Did you learn? Did it... A gesture of appeal, but they shake, and the shaking turns this appeal to an embrace. He holds me against him, and I feel the weakness. Tell you? I hope it told you. It would never tell me, although I begged and begged. But I knew that someday I would send in my son, and that my son would find... It told me. It told me, Father. It told me everything. And weakly, he falls against me, then gathers himself in with remnants of his old strength. A strength of which I might have once dreamed, but never knew. I look out through the portholes of this corridor. It shows me the same constellations that I saw from the room of the computer. No difference, no difference. Only one of slight angles, refractions.
Tell me then, my son. What is it? When is it?
Mother's never going to come back. It said that mother's never going to come back again. But where she is at peace. At peace, and at infinite mercy.
Thank you. Thank the computer. Thank God,
says my father. And the ship goes on. It goes on mindless through 1,000 galaxies, dead stars streaming by the portholes. And I look out upon all of them, feeling the ascension, at last, the beginnings of acceptance. For this broadcast by Rich Grody. Mindwebs is produced at WHA Radio, Madison.